Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're exploring something I think is pretty cool, at least. It's called Omeka S, and it's a web publishing platform designed specifically for institutions, you know, museums, libraries, archives, all those places that want to show off their digital collections and do it in a way that's really engaging. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our sponsor, SafeServer. Now, they're the folks who can help you actually get Omeka S up and running. And they're all about digital transformation. So check it out at www.safeserver.de. Okay, back to Omeka S. What makes it so special? Well, imagine building an online exhibit that not only displays your artifacts, but also connects them to related items in collections from all over the world. That's the kind of interconnectedness that Omeka S makes possible.
Yeah, it's all about collaboration. With Omeka S, each institution can have its own independent exhibit, but they all draw from this shared pool of items, media, and information. It's a much more unified approach to managing and sharing cultural heritage.
So let's say a local historical society wants to create an exhibit about a prominent family in their town. They could use Omeka S to showcase their own photos and documents.
Right.
But also link them to related materials held in, say, a university archive. Or even a national museum.
Exactly. And those connections can go both ways. So someone researching that family at the national level, let's say, might discover the local society's collection through those links, bringing more attention to smaller institutions.
That's a great point. It really levels the playing field in terms of access and visibility. But I'm also wondering about the more practical side of things. What does it actually take to get Omeka S up and running?
Well, you'll need a server that meets the technical requirements, which are pretty standard for web applications these days. Things like Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP.
Okay, so some tech know-how is required. But I'm guessing the Omeka S community offers some support, you know, for those of us who aren't server wizards.
Absolutely. The Omeka S user manual is incredibly detailed, and there's a very active community forum. You can find answers to almost any question there. Plus, companies like our sponsor, SafeServer, can help with the installation and ongoing maintenance.
That's good to know. So once we've got Omeka S installed, how do we actually start building those amazing exhibits? What are some of the key features, the things that make it so user-friendly?
One of the things that makes Omeka S so powerful is its modularity. It's built with a core set of features, but you can extend its functionality with a wide variety of modules. Think of it like building with Lego blocks. You pick and choose the elements you need to create a platform that suits your specific goals.
That's a great analogy. So if a museum wanted to create an exhibit that incorporates interactive maps or timelines, they could simply find the appropriate modules and add them to their Omeka S site.
Precisely. And there are modules for all sorts of things. Collecting data from the public, importing content from other sources, even integrating social media feeds.
That's incredible. Sounds like the possibilities for customization are pretty much endless. But let's say a museum wants to make sure its exhibits are accessible to a global audience. How does Omeka S handle things like multilingual support?
Omeka S has built-in features for managing translations, so you can easily create exhibits in multiple languages, and since it's based on open web standards, it's compatible with assistive technologies used by people with disabilities.
So it's not just about creating visually stunning exhibits, it's about ensuring that those exhibits are inclusive and accessible to everyone.
Exactly, and that's a core value that's deeply embedded in the Omeka S philosophy. It's about democratizing access to cultural heritage and making it available to everyone, regardless of their language, location, or abilities.
That's a powerful message. And speaking of accessibility, one of the features that caught my eye is Omeka S's integration with the Digital Public Library of America, or DPLA. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. The DPLA is like this massive online hub that brings together digital resources from libraries, archives, and museums across the United States. It's a treasure trove of digitized books, photographs, manuscripts, and more, all freely available to the public.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So by integrating with the DPLA, institutions using Omeka S can essentially open their collections to a much wider audience.
Exactly. Think about it. A small historical society in rural America can suddenly have their collection of local artifacts discovered by researchers, students, or just curious individuals from all over the world. It's a phenomenal way to increase visibility and impact.
It really breaks down geographical barriers and connects people with cultural heritage in a way that wouldn't have been possible before. And it's all thanks to the power of open source software and platforms like Omeka S.
It's a testament to the collaborative spirit of the cultural heritage community. And I think it represents a major shift in how we think about preserving and sharing our collective history.
I couldn't agree more. It's incredibly exciting to see how institutions are using these tools to create truly engaging and meaningful experiences for their audiences. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the individual exhibits. What about larger institutions, the ones that might want to manage multiple collections or even collaborate with other organizations?
That's where Omeka S's multi-site management feature comes in. It allows a single Omeka S installation to host and manage multiple independent sites, each with its own unique theme and content.
So a university could use a single Omeka S installation to manage separate online exhibits for its art museum, library, and archives.
Exactly. No need for separate installations or complex configurations. It's all streamlined and managed from one central location, which can save administrators a ton of time and effort.
That sounds incredibly efficient. And I imagine this multi-site feature also fosters a sense of collaboration between different departments or even different institutions.
Absolutely. It allows for a more seamless flow of information and resources, and it encourages institutions to work together to create richer and more interconnected digital experiences.
So we've got modularity, multilingual support, DPLA integration, and multi-site management. Is there anything else about Omeka S that really sets it apart from other web policy platforms?
Well, one of the things that makes Omeka S particularly interesting is its focus on the semantic web. It allows institutions to publish their items with linked open data, which essentially means connecting their collections to a vast network of related information online.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me a bit. The semantic web sounds a little intimidating.
Think of it like this. You're looking at a photograph in an online exhibit. With linked open data, you could click on, say, a person's face in the photo and instantly be taken to other resources about that person, a biography, a family tree, even related artifacts and other collections.
Wow. So it's like following a trail of digital breadcrumbs that leads you deeper and deeper into the subject. That's amazing.
Exactly. And it's not just about connecting people to information. Linked open data also allows machines to understand and process information in new ways. For example, a researcher could use a tool to analyze data across multiple collections, identifying patterns and relationships that wouldn't be visible to the human eye.
That's incredibly powerful. It's like taking a magnifying glass to history and uncovering hidden connections and insights. And Omeka S makes all of this possible.
It does. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. As more institutions adopt linked open data and tools like Omeka S, we're going to see a radical transformation in how we access, understand, and interact with cultural heritage information.
I'm already feeling overwhelmed by the possibilities, but in a good way, of course. It's clear that Omeka S is much more than just a web publishing platform. It's a tool for discovery, research, and collaboration. And it has the potential to revolutionize the way we engage with our shared history.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive into Omeka S. We've talked about its technical requirements, its user-friendly features, and its commitment to accessibility and collaboration. But there's still so much more to explore. We'll be back in just a moment. To delve deeper into Omeka S's unique capabilities and its potential to reshape the future of cultural heritage, don't forget to visit our sponsor, SafeServer, at www.safeserver.de for more information about digital transformation.
It's truly amazing to think about how Omeka S is shifting the way we interact with cultural heritage. You know, it's not just about making collections available online. It's about providing context and meaning, weaving together these rich narratives.
You're right. It's like taking those fascinating objects we see in museums and giving them a voice, letting them tell their stories. And with Omeka S, those stories can be interconnected, spanning across different institutions and collections.
Exactly. Imagine, for example, a researcher studying a specific historical event. With Omeka S, they could access primary sources like letters, diaries, photographs, even audio recordings from various archives and libraries, all linked together and presented in a cohesive way.
That's a game changer for research. It takes collaboration to a whole new level. But I'm also curious about how Omeka S benefits smaller institutions, or even individual collectors. You know, they might not have the resources to build these elaborate digital exhibits.
That's one of the beauties of Omeka S. It's incredibly scalable. You can start with a very basic exhibit and gradually add complexity as your needs grow. Even a small collection can be made accessible to a global audience. And the platform's DILTIV tools make it surprisingly easy to manage.
So it's not just for the big players, the ones with dedicated tech teams.
Not at all. Omeka S is designed to be user-friendly, even for those who might not be tech savvy. And remember, there's that supportive community we talked about, always ready to lend a hand if you get stuck.
That's reassuring. So we've got researchers using it for deep dives, small institutions sharing their collections, and large organizations managing complex projects. It seems like Omeka S is truly adaptable. But what about the actual content itself? How does Omeka S handle different types of media?
Oh, that's another area where Omeka S really shines. It's not just about text and images. You can seamlessly incorporate audio recordings, video clips, even 3D models into your exhibits.
That opens up so many possibilities. I can envision an exhibit about a historical building that includes architectural drawings, photographs, and even a virtual tour created with a 3D model.
Exactly. And imagine being able to listen to a firsthand account of a historical event right there in the exhibit, or watching a video demonstrating how a traditional craft is practiced.
It's about creating a truly immersive experience for the audience. And I think that's especially important for younger generations, you know, who are accustomed to interacting with content in a more dynamic way. They don't just want to read static text. They want to engage all their senses.
Absolutely. It's about meeting users where they are and using KT Media to make cultural heritage come alive. And Omeka S gives content creators the tools to do just that.
But with all this multimedia content, there must be some concerns about managing rights and permissions. How does Omeka S handle that aspect?
That's a crucial consideration. And Omeka S has built-in features for rights management. You can assign different rights statements to each item in your collection, indicating how it can be used and shared.
So you could have items that are in the public domain alongside copyrighted materials and others with specific usage restrictions.
Exactly. This allows institutions to be transparent about how their collections can be accessed and used, while also respecting the intellectual property rights of creators and donors.
That's really important. For building trust with both content creators and users, it shows a commitment to ethical and responsible stewardship of these valuable collections.
Precisely. And this attention to ethical considerations is woven throughout the entire Omeka S platform.
You know, we've been talking about individual institutions using Omeka S, but I'm also curious about its potential for larger scale projects. Could it be used to create, say, a national digital archive?
Absolutely. In fact, there are already several national and even international initiatives that utilize Omeka S to connect collections from multiple institutions.
That's incredible. So we're not just talking about individual exhibits. We're talking about building interconnected networks of knowledge that span countries and continents.
It's really about creating a global commons of cultural heritage where information flows freely and collaboration is encouraged.
It's a powerful vision, and it's exciting to think about the possibilities that lie ahead.
And it's not just about connecting institutions. Omeka S also has tools for engaging the public in meaningful ways. We've talked about its user-friendly interface for creating exhibits, but it goes beyond that.
What do you mean?
Well, Omeka S has features that allow users to contribute to collections, add tag and comments, even participate in crowdsourcing projects.
So it's not just about passive viewing. It's about inviting the public to actively engage with these collections, share their knowledge, and even help shape the narratives that are being told.
Exactly. It's about breaking down those traditional barriers between institutions and the communities they serve, creating a more participatory and democratic approach to cultural heritage.
That's a truly inspiring idea. It's about empowering individuals to become stewards of their own history and heritage, and to connect with others who share their passions.
It's about recognizing that cultural heritage is not just something that's locked away in museums and archives, but something that's living and breathing, constantly evolving through our interactions with it.
And Omeka S provides the tools to facilitate those interactions in a meaningful and impactful way.
It does. And as more institutions adopt this platform and embrace its collaborative spirit, I think we're going to see a real transformation in how we think about and engage with cultural heritage.
I completely agree. Omeka S is more than just a technology. It's a catalyst for change, a force that's pushing us towards a more open, accessible, and participatory future for cultural heritage.
Well said, and it's just the beginning. There are so many exciting developments on the horizon, and I can't wait to see how Omeka S continues to evolve and shape the landscape of digital cultural heritage.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but I still have a few more questions. I'm particularly interested in the technical side of Omeka S. How does it actually work under the hood?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll be exploring in the final part of our deep dive. We'll delve into the platform's architecture, its data model, and its approach to metadata management.
I'm looking forward to it, but before we get too technical, let's take a moment to recap what we've learned so far. we've seen how Omeka S is empowering institutions of all sizes to share their collections online, how it's creating new opportunities for research and collaboration, and how it's engaging the public in meaningful and transformative ways.
It's been a fascinating journey so far, and we're not done yet. There's still so much more to discover about this incredible platform and its potential to reshape the future of cultural heritage.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our deep dive into Omeka S. Welcome back to our deep dive into Omeka S. We've already uncovered so much about this platform, its collaborative spirit, its multimedia capabilities, and its potential to democratize access to cultural heritage. But now, let's shift gears a bit. A peek under the hood.
It's time for the technical deep dive. While Omeka S is designed to be user-friendly, it's built on a powerful foundation that allows it to handle complex data and connect with other systems seamlessly.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't programmers, can you give us a simplified explanation of how Omeka S actually works? What's going on behind the scenes?
Well, at its core, Omeka S is all about managing and connecting digital objects. These could be images, documents, audio files, anything really. Each object is described using a metadata, which is essentially data about data. Think of it like a digital label that tells us what the object is, who created it, when it was made, and so on.
So the metadata is what makes the object searchable and discoverable.
Right.
It's how we can find that specific photograph or document within a vast collection.
Exactly. And Omeka S has a very flexible approach to metadata. It uses a system called the Resource Description Framework, or RDF, which allows you to describe objects in a very granular way, capturing all sorts of nuanced information.
RDF, that sounds familiar. Isn't that related to the semantic web we talked about earlier, that whole idea of connecting information in a web-like structure?
You got it. RDF is one of the foundational technologies of the semantic web. By using RDF, Omeka S ensures that the metadata associated with each object is not just text, but machine-readable data that can be linked to other resources online. This is what enables those amazing connections we talked about, being able to click on a person in a photograph and instantly find more information about them in another collection, for example.
That's so cool. So it's not just about storing information. It's about creating these pathways of knowledge, these interconnected networks of data. But I'm also wondering about how Omeka S handles large collections. I imagine things could get pretty complex with thousands or even millions of objects.
You're right. Managing large collections is a challenge, but Omeka S is designed to scale. It uses a relational database to store all the information, which allows for efficient searching and retrieval. And because it's built on open web standards, it can easily integrate with other systems and tools used by institutions.
So it's not just a standalone platform. It's designed to work as part of a larger ecosystem of digital tools and resources.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes Omeka S so adaptable and future-proof. As new technologies emerge, Omeka S can evolve alongside them, ensuring that institutions can continue to manage and share their collections in the most effective way possible.
That's great to hear. You know, throughout this deep dive, I've been struck by how Omeka S seems to be more than just a piece of software. It feels like a philosophy, a way of thinking about cultural heritage that emphasizes collaboration, accessibility, and the interconnectedness of knowledge.
I completely agree. It's about recognizing that cultural heritage is not something static or isolated, but something that's constantly evolving through our interactions with it. And Omeka S provides the tools to facilitate those interactions in a truly meaningful way.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Omeka S. We've explored its user-friendly features, its powerful technical underpinnings, and its potential to transform the way we experience and engage with cultural heritage.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I hope our listeners have gained a deeper understanding of this incredible platform and its possibilities.
I'm sure they have. A big thank you to SafeServer at www.safer.de for supporting this show. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.